Fans, and welcome once again inside the Hive as we're getting set for episode 9, a big show coming up this week. It's Jake Elliott with you, the voice of the Minnesota Swarm, joined as always by Alec Shimke of MNSwarm.com. Alec, a big show this week as we got Callum Showtime Crawford coming up along with David Earle as well. As look forward to talking to those two guys briefly here.
Yeah, big show for us, last regular season show. 9 episodes have gone by pretty fast, and next week we'll be talking playoffs. Definitely exciting to be playing Colorado now 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, we'll touch on the playoffs coming up here and the game coming up this weekend against the Mammoth. But let's get a quick recap of what happened in the National Lacrosse League this past week. As on Friday, the Edmonton Rush took on the Colorado Mammoth and came out of there with a victory 14-11 in that one, and held Grant to only 6 points in that contest. That was a big win for the Edmonton Rush.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Colorado on their home turf, last home game, and Edmonton comes in and stuns them and locks up a playoff spot. Kind of probably the biggest surprise, I think, in the past couple of weeks. Wouldn't you agree, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely, as I don't think anyone really expected that one, as Colorado slips into the second spot, and we'll touch on that a little bit, but let's get caught up on what else happened in the week that was in the National Lacrosse League, as Toronto deals the death blow to the Washington Stealth as they take down Washington 16-13 in that one. And Washington will be the team that misses the playoffs in the National Lacrosse League this year.
Yeah, we touched on this last week, but again, I mean, I think if you said before the season that the Washington Stealth would miss the playoffs, I don't think anybody would have thought that. In a rematch this past weekend, or this past Friday, of the championship last season with Toronto and Washington, and yeah, Toronto came out firing and now locked up that one spot right now in the East. And, no playoffs. The Swarm will certainly be happy not to see the Stealth in the playoffs this season, having knocked them out 2 straight years.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I don't think anybody really could have predicted that Washington would be the team to miss. And just kind of a crazy year there in Washington where they were missing their head coach due to some medical reasons. They had a ton of injuries to key players all season long, and really kind of struggled to find their chemistry on the floor with that offense. Just, you know, some games they seemed to be clicking and some games they weren't, and they just never really kind of put the whole package together there in Washington this season. And a lot of questions will be needed to be answered in that offseason for Washington, as they will be the odd team out. And with that, Buffalo takes down Rochester 14-9, and, you know, I guess they really didn't need to win that game, but they went into that game with the mindset that they needed to win to clinch that playoff spot, and they come up with a pretty solid performance from Anthony Cosmo in that one as they take down the Nighthawks 14-9.
Right, yeah, I think the big thing you said there was Anthony Cosmo. He played to his ability, you know, and that's why they traded for him, only giving up 9 goals, making 46 saves on 55 shots. So, yeah, the win gets the Bandits in the playoffs, but obviously with the Stealth losing, it didn't really matter. But they're clicking again, so now they're coming in hot here kind of at the end of the season. And, Jake, big win by Calgary on Saturday as well. They locked up now the top seed in the overall playoffs, number 1 right now in the West.
Yeah, and they do that without their starting goaltender, Mike Poulin. It's the rookie Frankie Sigliano that gets the start there, and what a performance by the rookie as he holds Edmonton to just 6 goals in that one. And you're right, it solidifies that number 1 spot overall for Calgary, as they'll have home field advantage throughout the playoffs now.
Yeah, exactly. That's a huge thing to have, especially this season with just the way things have played out. You know, having home field advantage throughout the playoffs, you know, if you're to make it that far, definitely a big thing. You know, Calgary, they're going to get a good crowd out for the playoff season. And you know, for the Swarm, it's going to, like we're going to touch on, it's going to start on the road right away in Colorado, and you still have a slim chance of posting the semifinals if we win and Edmonton upsets Calgary, and then likewise, opportunity to host a NHL championship game as well. So for us, it's going to be a trip on the road, but Calgary, they're going to be lucky to be sitting on their home floor.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit as we move along here too, but let's kind of recap the game that took place last week in Minnesota, as the rematch against Philadelphia from a few weeks ago. The Wings come into town, and, you know, we had similar records, 7-7 records coming into that one, and a lot to play for Philadelphia, as they were still trying to lock up that one seed in the East. But it was Minnesota once again with their third straight victory. in a row here, a 15-10 victory over the Wings, and we got some big performances out of a lot of players in that game, Alec, as Evan Kirk again showed a strong performance, but really it was Kevin Ross who kind of led the way for us, coming up with a career game, 9 points in that one, 5 goals and 4 assists. What can you say about not only the performance that Kevin Ross had in that game, Alec, but the season in general that Kevin has had for us this season?
All right. I mean, he's been Mr. Consistent, second on the team with 27 goals. I asked him after the game on Saturday, you know, watching him on practice on Friday night, I don't think the guy missed a shot. He was on fire, kind of had a gut feeling, I think everyone around at practice that night, that he was going to come in and have a big game. Maybe not 5 goals, but, boy, what an outstanding performance. You know, really has stepped up, in particular when Ryan was out with the concussion, kind of leading the swarm on that left side. And, you know, just playing as the best lacrosse, I think, of his life right now in the NHL, and it's coming at the right time.
Yeah, he really almost had a chance to have a couple of more, too, as it was Callum Crawford who was really distributing the ball well in that game, and he set up Roscoe for a couple of other ones that I think he got robbed by the crossbar one time, and then Miller actually got him another time. So he actually could have had 7 or 8 goals in that game. And what can he say about Callum Crawford's game? Is we're going to talk to him momentarily here, but he comes up with another big performance. 9 points in that one, 1 goal, 8 assists, and really kind of a stealth performance from Callum, is he really didn't stand out very much, but then you look at the score sheet after the game and there's 9 points staring at you.
Right. I mean, anytime you have 8 assists, and that was a career high for him, you're doing something right, doing a great job distributing the ball. And that was his sixth career game in Minnesota with at least 9 points or more. So he's had those big time performances, and we've seen a few this season. You know, he's doing great things right now. Like Kevin Ross, he's getting hot at the right time, and the offense really seems to be clicking right now. And, you know, it kind of looks like maybe having Ryan out for a couple games just kind of, you know, increased everyone else's confidence, and everyone had to step up, and now everyone's really gelling well together.
Yeah, and speaking of Ryan Benesch, he starts to get back in the groove a little bit as he comes up with another 4-goal performance for Minnesota. Of course, it was High of Cares night as the boys are wearing the black and gray jerseys in support of the Randy Shaver Cancer and Research Foundation, and also in support of one of our teammates and Joe Wasson. So a big crowd on hand inside the Hive on Saturday night for that game against Philadelphia. This week's game coming up against the Colorado Mammoth will be the CBS game of the week, and an exciting game and an exciting time for Minnesota as this game is going to be nationally televised on CBS.
Yeah, second straight season the Swarm are hosting a nationally televised game. Great for the league, you know, in general, and great for the Swarm too, to showcase really, you know, what the lacrosse community is all about. You're going to see a lot of, you know, youth box league players in attendance. You're going to see a lot of lacrosse coaches. You know, really the whole lacrosse community does a great job and shows their support during these kind of games. So it'll be exciting, and obviously with these two teams meeting again in the second or in the first round of the playoffs, it'll be fun to, you know, kind of get a preview of what's to come in the playoffs on national TV.
Yeah, and speaking of the preview, of course, it is Wednesday here, and that means the National Lacrosse League Coaches Conference call. So let's get a quick word here from both coaches on the conference call here today. Joe Sullivan and Bob Hamley with the coaches' comments.
I know Colorado has played themselves into a great situation to have a home game, and you know, so we're gonna just play to get ourselves to 9-7, which was our goal. Probably about the halfway mark through the year was to get to 9-7, and now we've allowed ourselves to get, you know, within striking distance. So that's the expectation, is for us to work as hard as we can, show the energy, and try to get ourselves another win.
Yeah, we're obviously disappointed with our results on Friday night, but you know, it's been a great season. We're very proud of what we've done so far, and we want to continue to play well as we head into the playoffs.
And those were the coaches' comments from Joe Sullivan and Bob Hamley. As I believe, showtime, Mr. Callum Crawford is waiting to come inside the Hive. So let's welcome Callum Crawford inside the Hive. Callum, are you there?
Yes, I am, buddy. How are you doing?
I am excellent, sir. And yourself, how was the flight out from Ottawa into Minnesota?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. Same as usual.
Yeah, good stuff. Callum, first thing I always ask players that I interview is, how did you get your start in lacrosse?
To be honest, the other kids in my neighborhood growing up were playing in it, and I wanted to fit in, so I started playing.
And you're still struggling to do that a little bit, so you can continue to keep the stick in your hand. As Callum, let's talk about this season here a little bit. How would you say it's gone for you personally?
Some definite ups and downs. You know, definitely had a really dry spell about midway through the season, which was kind of tough, but the rest of the boys were still playing well and, you know, were able to keep me going, which was great. And, you know, finishing kind of a little bit better, feeling a little better now. And, you know, looks like the team's coming together right at the right time, so.
Yeah, and let's get into that a little bit. Gone are a lot of the veterans from years past, and now you kind of find yourself in that leadership role on the right side with, you know, bringing the guys along like Jake Hart and Corbin Tao. How has that experience been for you, and what's it like being a leader on that offensive side and bringing those guys along?
Well, we have so many leaders on our offense. You know, I happen to be one of the older guys on that right side. So it was definitely a learning curve for myself, you know, learning to play. I just played two seasons in a row with Sean Pollock and Aaron Wilson, who are no longer with us. So there was a little bit of a learning curve to learn, you know, Corbin and Jay Card and Jordan McIntosh's games a little bit, which were definitely different than guys I've played with before. But that's kind of how it is in this league, right? You got to be able to play with a number of different players. And that there was just kind of, you know, a new thing. It was great. It let me build as a player. Let me learn how to play with some really great young talent like the guys we have on our team. So it was great.
Yeah, it really kind of seems over the last couple of weeks that you've been developing some really good chemistry with Corbin Tao in particular. Do you find that to be the case as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it took me a little while, but Corbin's game definitely helps my game out a lot because he's so crafty inside, and I tend to play a little bit on the outside, so it kind of complements each other. And, you know, we've had a little bit of success lately, so it's good.
And you talk about kind of that midpoint of the season where you're struggling a bit. Do you think that, you know, was a case of Ryan being out and maybe you putting a little bit more pressure on yourself to kind of carry the load? Or do you think it was a case where with Ryan being out, the defense was able to focus more on yourself?
Maybe a little bit of everything. Definitely some personal battles there. Maybe me trying to do a little too much. As well as, you know, having Ryan out. Definitely it's tough because I've played with him for so long. So, you know, I'm used to just being able to know where he is at certain points of the game and not having him there when I'd look up, he's not there. And that kind of changes the dynamic of, you know, what I've been doing for the last, you know, 4 years almost, even since we were in Edmonton together. So definitely missed him being out. Having him back helps my game and obviously helps his team tremendously. So
yeah, now that he's been back and you've started to heat up again, your last few games have really started to turn around. Do you think that there's a direct correlation to having him back, or have you been doing something different in practice or maybe pregame? I notice you've been using a new stick lately, or is it a combination of all of those things where your game's kind of turned around a bit and a good time for it to do so as we approach the playoffs here?
I think it's a combination of everything. Obviously, having Ryan back is a huge, huge portion of it because how good he is and how much, you know, he can complement my game, and hopefully I can do the same for his. And then also just, you know, the new stick, I guess we could put it on that. We could thank Joel Henry for stringing up a beautiful, nice swiggy for me. But I think it's just a combination of everything, just things falling together. I'm relaxing a little bit more and, you know, having faith in our team and not trying to do so much myself. So
yeah, I didn't realize Joel Henry was a bit of a stick doctor, so you might have to. I know you guys spent some time in the off season as you got him prepared physically to come into training camp, and I guess he's repaying you a little bit by stringing up the weapon for you.
Yeah, well, I'm really, really picky with my sticks. It's really, really tough for me to find a stick that works. And other than the only person I've ever found other than my brother that can string a twig for me has been Joel. And he just, you know, out of nowhere told me he has this twig that he thinks would be perfect for me. And it was right before that game 2 weeks ago against Washington. And, you know, it just kind of worked and went with it ever since.
Well, there you go. Let's get into Colorado a little bit here. Callum, is we are going to face these guys for the next couple of weeks for sure. We know that. 0-2 against him. We saw him early in the season, very first game. I think you can kind of write that one off as we were still kind of finding our way again. And, you know, we'd switched goaltenders by then and made a coaching change by then as well. And so I kind of think you can throw that one out the window. The last time we played these guys, we were in Minnesota, and we were right there with them in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I kind of look at it, Callum, like – this young team has grown up a lot since then, and lately we've been able to finish off games. And I kind of think that might have been an issue earlier in the season where we just, you know, we're still learning how to win down the stretch. And what do you think is going to be the key to beating this defense in particular and Chris Levis?
Well, first off, even that first game of the season, you know, we were with them all the way till the fourth quarter again, and then they kind of blew us out there. And that there was obviously just part of growing pains as a young team. And the same thing as the last one. You know, I think we're a team that gets better every game, and I think everybody can kind of see it within our locker room and our management and everything, because, you know, with so many young guys, and just kind of you can see them develop and grow, and then the players around them, even the veterans, are growing around them, and we're just, you know, getting better every game, which is huge. Now Colorado, you know, what can we say about them? They've had a great year. They have a really, really good team, and it's going to take, you know, our best effort to beat them. And they have a really good defense. You know, they have some old swarm players from last year on their defense that's really helping anchor them. So we just have to do the things that we do well, distribute the ball and have faith in every guy on our offense to beat them, because, you know, everybody on our team can be successful and help us be successful. It's never going to be just Ryan Benesch or just myself or Kevin Ross. It's going to be guys like Corbin, guys like Jay Carr, Joel Henry, Josh Gillum. Those are the guys that are really going to help us get wins, because, you know, good defenses can take away good players, and it's going to be the secondary and, you know, the other guys who are going to have to step up and win. And, you know, I feel we have the team to do it. And Chris,
yeah,
the same thing. He's a goalie that we can get to, having a great year. But, you know, we just have to do the things we do well, and hopefully we'll see success.
Yeah, no, that's always kind of something that I've made a point of mentioning, is I think when our team is the most successful is not only when you are distributing the ball and spreading the ball around to our offense, but we're getting that secondary scoring from the players that you just mentioned and that balanced attack. And when we're doing that, it's really difficult for defenses to key in on one player or the other when we're getting that balanced scoring.
Definitely, I agree.
Now, the game is going to be aired on CBS Sports Network this week. Is that going to be, do you think, a distraction for any of the players? And I know you being a veteran is probably not going to affect you as much. It's probably more of an exciting thing for you. But do you think that's going to be maybe a bit of a distraction for the younger guys? And you know, what's your feeling about the game being nationally televised?
I think it's great for the league, great for our team and everything. I don't think it's going to distract anybody. I don't see too many changes that'll happen on game day that we don't regularly see. It'll be pretty neat to be able to record it and take a look at ourselves on national television afterwards, which is pretty awesome. Outside of that, I don't think much will change from, you know, our young guys, because they're playing beyond their years. So they'll be able to handle it like nothing.
Now, you are affiliated with a lacrosse company back in Ottawa, Ontario, where you're from. Why don't you talk a little bit about the company you work for, what you do, and what they do?
Yeah, I affiliate with a couple of companies here. I am sponsored by a lacrosse company called Combat Sports, a pretty big hockey and baseball company, just broke into lacrosse, so I've been doing some stuff with them, which has been really great. And then I also I started up my own company called Capital Lacrosse Academy, where I'm helping develop lacrosse players here in Ottawa. Just there's never really been anything to help grow the sport here in Ottawa, and let alone the players. So I'm trying to really change that, try to help more guys get some looks and be successful and, you know, pursuing a future, hopefully in the NCAAs and so on. And that's just kind of the goal of the academy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's we might as well let the fans know that that is your Twitter handle. If you want to reach Callum Crawford via Twitter, you can follow him at Capital Lax. And let's talk about your little media experience here, Callum, as you've taken on a bit of a project this year, Showtime at the Downtowner. First, let's talk about how the name Showtime came around, and then also talk about this little segment you've been doing with some of the players, Showtime at the Downtowner, how that's been going, and do you like doing that sort of thing?
Yeah, I love doing it. It's fun, you know, being able to interact with guys and stuff like that. I always like to, you know, poke fun and do a little fun thing. So we kind of just get together and kind of wing it whenever we do it. I think people can tell that from the way that they go. The name Showtime kind of just came around. The company that sponsors me created a shaft called the Showtime, and they called it my signature shaft. And it kind of stuck with the guys around the team. They started, you know, as a joke, calling me Showtime, and it just kind of stuck, and it's been like that for the past 2 years.
Well, I know how that goes, and you know, I've started to kind of incorporate that into my broadcast. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. So not a bad nickname to come up with if you're going to get one. Now, I know Alex's on the line here with us. Are we going to see another Showtime at the Downtown before the season's on? And if so, now that you've been inside the Hive, when do I get my segment on Showtime at the Downtown?
Well, whether we get another one or not, that's on Alec for scheduling us to do it. I'd be happy to interview you on Showtime the Downtown. It would be quite fun and be able to switch the roles here where I get to ask the questions.
Yeah, I think we could probably make some magic together. So, Alec, what do you think about that? Are we going to get another one in here or what?
We might have to make an exception, maybe a playoff Showtime at the Downtown here with Callum and Jake. I think we could roll with it.
All right. So you heard it here first. Look for that coming up shortly. As Callum, that's all I got for you. I appreciate you coming inside the Hive here. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of days for the big matchup against Colorado.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right. That is Callum Crawford, number 98 for your Minnesota Swarm, a.k.a. Showtime. As Alec, some good stuff there from Callum as he kind of lets you inside his mind a little bit on you know, what he's been going through this season and what he looks for leading up to the playoffs here.
I think he touched on a lot of great areas and, you know, really great point on just the young guys are playing beyond their years. These guys, again, we have had 12 rookies that I've seen four times this season with the Swarm. And for us to be at this position where we are, third best record in the league, 8-7, just coming off of Super Philadelphia, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, the veterans are kind of getting hot at the right time. You really have a good feeling that this team is poised to make a playoff run.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking about that earlier today and last night for that matter, is that, you know, looking around the league, and you mentioned Colorado, the one team that we haven't beat this season, but Toronto being the only team that we haven't played. But, you know, I kind of get the feeling, and I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but that probably every team that's in the playoffs probably feels like they have a chance to win the Champions Cup this season, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Right. I mean, you can make the argument that we've beaten every team that we played, minus Colorado, but, you know, likewise, we've lost to every team that we played as well as even minus Philadelphia. So everyone has kind of been able to have success against each other. You know, especially in the East, I look at the seedings and every team has kind of been switching places. That one I kind of think is wide open. Anyone could really come out of there. You know, you can't discredit, you know, Minnesota and Edmonton. You know, obviously Calgary and Colorado are having great seasons, but, you know, both teams have had success against those two as well. So really it's going to be a wild playoff run. You know, just can't wait for it to kick off next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Calgary and Colorado have kind of separated themselves with the rest of the league, everybody else just above or just below or at 500 in the league. But, you know, like you said, we had a pretty convincing win in Calgary earlier in the season, and we've been right there with Colorado. And, you know, with that one-and-done format that the National Lacrosse League has, it's really, you know, if you show up to play on that in any given night, I think any team can be beat. And that's what makes the sport and this league so exciting.
Right, three victories, that's all it takes, and you're a champion in the National Lacrosse League. And, you know, you've seen teams, I know Rich Morgan was on a team with the Lumberjacks. I think they were, I want to say 5-11 or 6-10 in the regular season. They made
yeah.
it all the way to the Champions Cup. I believe they lost that game, though, but
they did.
Supposed to show that you really can't discredit any team going to the playoffs. You know, it's a game of runs, and, you know, during the games, and you never know when that team's just going to find a hot stick and pull out some wins.
Yeah, we'll see what happens as we'll have Colorado here for our final game of the regular season, and then it's off to Denver for our opening round playoff matchup. And I believe our next guest is ready to come inside the Hive. So let's welcome Mr. David Earle inside the Hive. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
It is going excellent, sir. What are you up to today?
I'm just actually relaxing at home. A couple of minutes, I got to go pick up some flyer stuff for some clinics coming up in Connecticut, but not too much right now.
Well, hopefully you can give me a little bit longer than 2 minutes, Mr. Earle, as we're happy to have you inside the Hive here. And Dave, I'd like to know, how did you begin playing lacrosse?
Actually, I have an older brother that's 8 years older than me. And when he went through high school, he started in ninth grade. And then, you know, I kind of got introduced to it then, and I was obviously really young, but I never played until I reached eighth grade when my best friend was like, you got to try it. So growing up, I only played hockey and soccer, and then eighth grade came along, and my buddy kind of just put a stick in my hands and just told me to come out for tryouts, and from then on, I just played throughout my high school career, and I obviously went off to Notre Dame and still playing today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Notre Dame here in a little bit, but it's interesting that you picked it up a little bit later in life and have made it to the professional level. Now, I know you attended Notre Dame, but where are you from originally?
Oh, I'm from Simsbury, Connecticut, and that's actually the same town that my high school was located in. Both my parents worked at the high school I went to. It's Westminster School. It's a prep school in Simsbury, Connecticut. And, growing up, I always knew I was going to go there because I had three older siblings that, all attended that school. So, I'm from Simsbury, Connecticut. And I'm still hanging around here a lot and visit back here at the school and the sport. So it's a good spot.
Good stuff. Now, you're drafted by the Minnesota Swarm, I believe, in the fourth round. I could be wrong on that. Alec could probably correct me if I am. But you were also the number one pick in the NLL. And, I know this has been a bit of a touchy subject going through this season, but I'm going to talk about it anyway because I think it's something that our fans will probably be interested to know about. So, maybe just talk a little bit, Dave, about being drafted by both teams and then, what was going through your mind and the decision process you had deciding to go with them and then, you had the change of heart and coming into Minnesota a bit later in the season.
Yeah, well, I basically just got introduced to it, a couple of months before the NLL draft, and I think I saw it as an opportunity to one, learn the sport, to get an opportunity to, get a lot of reps in games, play against some decent players, and just get introduced to the sport in a different way than NLL, because from what I heard before, it was tough. As a new player, especially to break into the lineup and get a lot of reps. So I think that's one of the first thoughts that crossed my mind. And the second one was it just seemed interesting to me to grow lacrosse in a different way, especially grow box lacrosse in the U.S. This seemed like a great opportunity to help, be one of the lead guys in doing that. But I didn't look too much into it with, the background of the people who started it, the owners. So, obviously throughout the whole process of deciding that, I didn't know all the details, obviously, or enough details.
Yeah. No, I mean,
how secure it was or who was running it. So,
yeah,
I would say that I had good intentions for it, but I've said I don't think I did enough research to know kind of what I was getting into, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, things did go a little bit sideways, and then the decision came around to come to Minnesota, and, you mentioned playing your field lacrosse at Notre Dame, and I want to talk a little bit about that and what that experience was like, but of course, probably better than anyone that our boss, Mr. Alata, has and is a big influence at that university. Did that factor into your decision when you decided that you wanted to come to Minnesota? And maybe you can speak to him a little bit and what he's done for the program at Notre Dame and what kind of person he is to bring you into Minnesota.
Yeah, obviously I was fortunate enough to get picked up by the team he owns, the Minnesota Swarm, because obviously he's a great guy, very loyal to obviously Notre Dame and obviously to his players. So I think I was very lucky there to have him to kind of as a secure, network to fall back on when things went wrong with the other league. But as for Notre Dame, I mean, he's provided our players with, an outstanding opportunity in that we have this, one-of-a-kind facility only for lacrosse, men's and women's lacrosse. And it just gives us the opportunity to play on, one of the top fields in the country, have these, huge locker room with flat screen TVs for film and couches and computers to do homework in. So, I mean, it just put Notre Dame lacrosse on a whole new level coming from my freshman year to my junior when it was built and put in there. So,
yeah, it was interesting as they aired a bit of a documentary on NBC Sports a while ago called Inside the Walls of Orlata, and it kind of took you inside that dressing room and the field and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think I had ever seen anything like that before for a lacrosse program. So pretty special stuff to be a part of that. And, you know, it just great for the Orlata family and for Notre Dame lacrosse to have something like that. Now, you mentioned, you know, you want to learn the game of box lacrosse, and, you know, joining the team late and not playing indoor lacrosse before, what was it like trying to learn the game on the fly that quickly under those circumstances?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. You know, I'm confident in my athletic ability and obviously my lacrosse ability, but, you know, just understanding the defensive concepts and the transition play and how the offense works took some time. But, you know, what I was fortunate enough to have was, you know, one, great coaches, obviously a great owner with Orlata, and teammates that, you know, kind of accepted me. Even after I came in late, they kind of took me in, you know, slowed things down for me, talked to me after practice, before practice about, you know, what should I do with my footwork, the defensive plays, and so forth. So, you know, I was really lucky. I think I was really lucky with, you know, what I got after coming in late and the people I had to, you know, help me pick up the game fast and get in there and make an impact.
Yeah, no, it really just speaks to the specialness of this team that we have and the season that we're having. And, you know, I don't know about yourself, David, or how many teams that you've been on in the past, but, you know, I've made the comment before that I don't think I've kind of been a part of a team that has been this closely knit together and has the chemistry that this team has. Do you kind of feel the same way about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm coming in late too, so that even speaks more to it as someone who wasn't there from the start. But, you know, I feel like I was there from the start for how close everyone is and how they accepted me and just how everyone gets along in the locker room and on the field and you know, at dinners and so forth. So
now you talk about, you know, coming in late and how you felt when you first joined the team, become easier for you. And what do you think, you know, from the day you started until now, how has the progress been? And do you think, or maybe you could tell me what things you feel like you kind of still need to work on a little bit.
I think there's always room for improvement, obviously. I mean, this is still my first, you know, time playing the sport, and I think every day I pick up on little things, you know, little defensive techniques or, you know, ways that I can break out quicker or, you know, get the ball up the floor faster. And I think it's just going to be a slow process of, you know, guys pulling me aside, being, you know, letting me know what I've done wrong or what I've, you know, are doing pretty good but can get better at. So I think it's just an everyday thing. I'm just going to work on, you know, getting better every day. That's what I've, you know, always been told from my coaches, and I think that, you know, applies to me learning box lacrosse and getting better at it.
Yeah, and speaking of box lacrosse, I know, you know, we've talked about the majority of your lacrosse careers has been in the outdoor game. Maybe you can tell me what you like and what you dislike about indoor box lacrosse.
What I don't like about indoor?
Yeah, or what you do, what you like and what you don't like. Because I'm sure there's probably one of each or maybe a couple of things that, you know, you prefer the field game for this reason or you prefer the box game for that reason.
I think start off with what I like about the box game. It's I like the physicality of it. I like how, you know, it's a lot of in-tight stuff, a lot of big hits, checks. You always feel like you're involved with every single play, every single shift. You feel like you're a key guy on the field. I really like that. I like how the ball is going up and down on the field a lot of transition play. The thing I don't like about indoor is the goalies are so freaking huge and the goals are so small that I can't score enough. You know, I'm used to scoring a lot of goals in outdoor and finding ways to score. But, you know, indoors, it seems to be a whole new problem for me to figure out how to score on these goalies. And, you know, at times it's fun and exciting and challenging to figure it out. But, you know, it's obviously something that's also frustrating as an outdoor guy coming in.
Yeah.
To indoor with these big goals and small goals, so that's definitely something.
Yeah, I don't know.
That I don't like about it, but I mean,
I don't know
it's
if you've listened
the game,
to the replay of the last game, but I made the comment that when you shoot the ball on goal, you put everything you have behind it, whether it's 5 feet from the net or 15 feet from the net, and I think, you know, maybe if something caught my eye more than anything is in field lacrosse, that usually is the case, but in box lacrosse, sometimes picking your spot a little more may be more effective than trying to overpower the goalie. So there's a little tip from Jumbo for you. The next time you get in tight on goal, maybe just take a little bit off it, Dave, and pick your spot a little bit better. As I want to ask you a few more things.
Learn something new every day.
There you go. So is there maybe something, and I'm going to talk about the goal scoring side of it. Before that, I want to ask you, is there maybe something about the game, that the indoor game, that you didn't know that you do now?
I don't think there's one specific thing. I think I just, you know, I knew about the whole overall concept of it, you know, the 5v5, the general rules, but I think I'm just, what I've learned is just the, you know, the defensive techniques, and then just, you know, offensive techniques, how it's so similar to basketball. And I didn't really know that before, how much pick play there was and how much, creative, the whole creative aspect of the offense with picks and slip picks and stuff like that. So I don't think there's one specific thing that I didn't know that I know now, but just a lot of little things, I guess.
And now the only thing left for you to do, Dave, is get into your first fight in the National Lacrosse League, and then I think you have probably covered everything. And I always like to ask guys about their first goal that they score in the National Lacrosse League, and maybe you can, I'm sure you remember it well, describe your first goal and maybe what went through your head after you scored.
My first goal, basically I was down on the defensive end, and you know, my guy is swung around the backside of the goal and ended up getting the ball on the side, and I kind of got to him right where he was catching it, so I was able to strip it from him, and then, you know, from there I just picked it up and went down on a breakaway in transition. It was kind of strange because as I was picking up the ground ball, the two guys that were in between me and the goal in my own end kind of ran into each other, so it kind of cleared me a free path to, you know, take it down for a breakaway. And then from there on, it was just instincts. I kind of came down on the goalie and faked a couple times and put it top left. So I think right after I scored, I was like, holy smokes, I just scored on this tiny goal with this enormous goalie. That was definitely my first thought. Then obviously, you know, my second thought was just I was, you know, excited that I was able to, you know, make an impact, help out the team, and, you know, go over and celebrate with my teammates. So it was definitely a great feeling.
Yeah, it was exciting for me to watch you get that first one. And now, David, I saw you on Twitter yesterday, and that tweet kind of stuck out to me, along with a couple other players. I know Stephen Keel commented on it as well. But you play for the Hamilton Nationals in the Major Lacrosse League, and I saw that, you know, there's been a scheduling conflict between the two leagues. Maybe you can explain that a little bit. And I know you're not happy about it, so I'm sure that last night you came up with a solution to help fix that problem. So just let the fans know what the issue is and how you plan to fix it.
Well, I mean, the issue is pretty simple. It's basically the two leagues, the NLL and the MLL, crossover. Even the regular seasons crossover. So this weekend we still have regular seasons, the final weekend for NLL games, and then the MLL actually starts up this weekend too for their first, you know, regular season game. So the problem is obviously pretty simple. It's pretty obvious that, you know, the seasons cross over, so players that play in both leagues and are going to miss at least one game, depending on how far they go in the playoffs for the NLL. So in my situation, my team actually does not play this weekend, but next weekend I'll miss our first opening game because we're going to be at Colorado for our first playoff game. Now, as for the solution to this whole problem, it's pretty simple as well. I mean, one, you know, the commissioners or the people who set up the schedules for the leagues have to, you know, obviously get together and realize that there is a problem. The players who, you know, obviously are the most important in the league, along with the fans, are the ones that are getting, you know, upset about this and you know, discouraged about this, that they're not able to play with their teams the entire season. So, you know, when I looked at it, it seems like the MLL season, the outdoor season, it runs pretty late. It runs kind of into the school year. So I think it will be tough to move the MLL season back farther, the outdoor season back farther. So I think the easiest thing would move the indoor season forward a little. I think right now it starts is it the second week in January?
Yeah, it starts pretty early in January, yeah.
So, you know, I would say either, you know, I think you would have to move the NLL season up, you know, a week or two. And then from there, it's basically fixed. But, I mean, it all comes down to just both leagues meeting together and figuring out a solution.
Well, there you go. You might have a future for future commissioner David Earle.
As a player, I think a lot of guys are especially upset this year because I think guys can miss up to, you know, for the outdoor team starting this weekend, you can miss up to four games if you make the championship game in the NLL, and that's
right.
You know, that's a huge chunk of the season. So,
well,
it's
I'm not
going
to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, David. I hope we do make the championship game, and I hope you do miss four games of the MLL season. So,
me too.
You know where I stand on that one. And Dave, you're a pretty quiet guy for the most part. You know, you kind of do your own thing on the bus and what have you, and you always got the earphones plugged in. What kind of music does David Earle like to listen to?
I'm a big acoustic and country guy. So fortunate enough, I have those headphones in, so no one else can hear me. But I like acoustic. I play the acoustic guitar. I play, you know, a little bit of piano slightly. But you know, I've always been a big acoustic guy. You know, Bruce Springsteen, you know, Dave Matthews Band when I was growing up. You know, just a lot of those kind of type bands. But I mean, I like a lot. I like anything from country to techno. I like some rap. So I'm all over the place for
oh, there you go. There you go, David. I'll just give out the Twitter handle up here for you so our great Minnesota fans can get behind you on Twitter and follow you and interact with you. It's David Earle 33. Is that correct?
Yep.
David Earle 33 at twitter.com. If you want to follow David Earle, David, I appreciate you coming inside the Hive. I look forward to seeing you on Friday for our big matchup against Colorado.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. That was David Earle, number 33, that for your Minnesota Swarm. Is, I have to double-check my roster there. Is, Alec, welcome you back. Is, you know, David Earle, not a guy that really stands out. You know, he's not a real flashy player, but man, oh, man, as this guy picked up the indoor game really quickly here for the Minnesota Swarm and just continues to improve from game to game.
Oh, his athleticism is off the charts. Just watched him in practice and even in the games. Just some of the stuff he's able to do, it literally just makes my jaw drop. I had to turn to John one practice the other week, and just go, wow, this kid's something else. And, you know, what a story. Great interview, Jake. You know, likewise with a guy like Josh Gillum. Here's two players, Josh, in Josh's case, who was playing professional hockey this season, and David playing, you know, outdoor lacrosse his whole life. They come to the Swarm kind of mid-season, and not a lot of, you know, box experience for, you know, for Beater guy, and here they're just playing outstanding, playing a critical role on a team that's, you know, about to make a strong playoff run. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to try and get Josh Gillum inside the Hive here in the next couple of weeks as time's starting to wind down here inside the Hive. As we mentioned, we got Colorado coming up, and something we should probably just touch on here a little bit is John Grant just 6 points away from breaking the NLL season scoring record, and I know we're going to do our best here to try and shut John Grant Jr. down from breaking that record, but just 6 points away for Jr. To set the all-time scoring record in a season.
Yeah, pretty much the big storyline of the week as far as, you know, kind of the national TV audience goes. You know, will Jr. Break that record, and, you know what he's been doing this season, what is he averaging, you know, more than that a game. So, you know, it's definitely probably pretty likely that he'll get there, I think.
Well, we'll see what happens as we're going for our fourth win of the row. And Alec, I saw you on Twitter last night banging out tons of stats and records that are coming out for our team, and that was just fantastic stuff. I know the fans totally appreciate that. So keep that stuff up because that's just gold for my broadcast coming up as well. I can use all sorts of that stuff. So if you want to follow Alec on Twitter, you can do it at Alec_Shimke. Myself, it's PXP4Lax at twitter.com/PXP4Lax. Want to send out a big thank you to NLL Radio and also MNSwarm.com for airing our show. Don't forget you can follow us and subscribe on iTunes as well. Alec, that is going to do it for this episode of Inside the Hive. We'll see you in a couple of days. And we're going to sign off here. So for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.